Hello, I'm Kendra.
And I'm August.
And you're listening to Bookdom, the bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
In this bonus episode, we are going to be doing our reading roundup for both January and February 2021. So instead of talking about what books we're currently reading, since we're talking about a bunch of books that we just finished over the last 60 days, or less than that, I don't know how many days it's been. Numbers are bullshit. let's get into it. Okay, do you want to tell me what the first book that you read in 2021 was?
Such a great one. The Son of Achilles by Madeline Miller. So it was a reread for the pod. Of course, 5 out of 5. Probably will never give that anything less. I didn't cry this time, though. Oh. I really wanted to. And it just didn't happen, but I sobbed the first time I read it.
Mm-hmm. How can it not make you cry?
Yeah, how could it not? Did it not?
I don't cry. It's not my fault. No, if I could, I would.
I know you would. Okay. And what have you read first? What did you read first?
My first book of the year was a reread as well, and that's Call Me By Your Name by Andre Osimhon. A great way to start off the year. I know this book is problematic to some, but it is a solid 5 out of 5 to me. It's just really, really beautiful. And even some people being trash won't ruin that beauty for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the second book that you read this year?
The second book I read is The Girls by Emma Klein, which was a recommendation from you. It was a really fun read. It was a 3 out of 5 for me. I remember enjoying it. It just felt like a little slow in the beginning, mm-hmm. and I wasn't super attached to the main character, even though I felt like the one thing I liked about the book was like her fascination with the woman, mm-hmm. a woman, so I'll say it. And I wanted more of that,
yeah,
and less of like the, I don't know, I like the culty stuff, mm-hmm. but I also was not, I didn't like that it was like so much like the Manson mm-hmm. family, because then it just felt like copy and paste to me.
Yeah,
I wish it was like less. I wish it was more inventive, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
I had the exact same reaction. I read it a couple of years ago, and it was entertaining, but, you know, not the best book, but mm-hmm. still enjoyable during
the time. Yeah, still glad I read it. Yeah.
Okay, my second pick kind of goes along with yours, because it also talks about the Manson family, and that's The White Album by Joan Didion. This is a solid 4 out of 5 for me. I love Joan Didion's writing style. This is a collection of essays that she wrote about Los Angeles in the 70s, and so the Manson family comes up. So do a variety of other strange goings-on, and then also some very American things going on, aka the Reagans.
Oh no.
And that is a horror I will not get into. Let's go on to your third pick.
Speaking of horror, Mexican Gothic by Sylvia Moreno Garcia. I liked this book. I think I gave it a 3 out of 5. Let me double check. Oh, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think I'm gonna change that to a, I think I'm gonna change that to a 3 out of 5, because upon reflection, mm-hmm. I think I was like swept up in the storytelling of it at the time. And also I do kind of overrate books initially mm-hmm. because I'm like, I don't want to hurt any author's feelings.
Yeah. And also you're in that moment, that love affair with that book.
Yeah. But it was fine. I think, yeah, I don't have much else to say about it. Sorry.
Mm. It's okay. My third book of the year was Everything I Never Told You by Celeste Ng. This is a solid 5 out of 5 for me. I read Little Fires Everywhere at the end of 2020. And I don't know, something about her writing just really feels right to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could necessarily put it into words. I've read a lot of books like this that are a solid 3 out of 5s, but there's something about this one I really, really vibed with. I don't know. I don't know. I just liked it. I still like it.
And okay, that brings me to my next one. Another 5 out of 5 is Know My Name by Chanel Miller, Chanel Miller was Emily Doe in the Stanford rape case, and this is her memoir, and it's so good. It's so powerful and gripping, but also just really painful to read. Yeah. Incredibly painful. It made me cry a few times. I teared up talking about it for the podcast, and we recorded our audiobooks episode?
Memoirs.
I was like, I know I gave shoes on there somewhere. So I highly recommend, but recommend only if you are in the space to like safely listen to it, mm-hmm. because it is difficult.
Yeah, that's one that's on my TBR, and I feel like I have to be emotionally ready in that moment to listen to it.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay, a powerful text. My fourth book of the year was Tender is the Flesh by Augustina Bozdarica. and I apologize if I mispronounced the author's last name. And I gave this book a 3 out of 5. It's a really interesting, it's an interesting narrative, that's for sure. It's a world where all animals have been contaminated, so people have started consuming human meat, which is very interesting to me. It makes me think of Soylent. Soylent Green is people, don't you know? But parts of it fell flat to me. I feel like there was like a lot of graphic depiction of killing and consumption of human meat that was done for shock value that didn't necessarily like shock me. Mm-hmm. Parts of it were shocking, not to say that. It just fell a little flat in some places. It wasn't, I had high expectations for it and it didn't necessarily live up to that hype. I feel like if I didn't have high expectations for it, it would be like a 3.5 or 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of high expectations, this is a book I fucking hated because I thought it was going to be so fun. And that's Lore by Alexandra Bracken. Ugh, what can I say about this book? What do I want to say? It just was not what I thought it was. It's like, it was sold to me as Percy Jackson meets The Hunger Games. And I was like, say no more. Mm-hmm. Love me some mythology. Love me some YA fiction. And it just was so, like, cheesy, but not in a fun way. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like the characters were so gimmicky and, like, but in a cringe way. The things they said, I was like, have you heard a person talk before? Like, that's not how people talk to each other. And I feel mean saying that. I gave it a 1 star. I really never give books 1 stars. I usually give 2 stars, even if I really didn't like it. But this book, I absolutely hated, and I am mad that I bought it new. You know?
Yeah.
If I had, like, listened to it for free or something, I maybe would have been, like, a 2 star. But I really didn't like this book. I would not recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you figured that out before I read it, so I don't have to. Okay, my 5th book of the year was a reread, and it's The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller. 5 out of 5, perfect book. We did a whole episode on it. I'll scream about it any time of day. Yeah. Patroclus is my little boy. I love him so much. Okay.
My 6th book is The Death of Vivek Oji by Kwege Menzi. I love this book. I've ranted about this book so much to August and to the pod, so I'll spare you some more and just say, go read it. Go read it. It's so good.
Okay, nice. Mine is one that you have already talked about. Seems like we have going to have a lot of overlap here. And that was Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno-Garcia. This was a 2.5 out of 5 for me. I didn't necessarily like the twist that happens in this book. If that twist had not happened and it went in a different direction, who knows? I might have liked it more. I might have liked it less. I'm just not the biggest fan of mold and what that mold does in this book. Although at times it was so gross that I loved it. I will not lie, but it just didn't feel right to me.
Yeah, the imagery was pretty visceral in that book. Yeah. Which at times I felt like it worked for me, mm-hmm. but yeah.
I liked all the imagery of, without spoilers, of mold and the human body.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very well done. But I just expected something different. I thought it was going to be a newer gothic, really focusing on those gothic tropes. And the first half of the book really built that up for me. And I was super, super excited. And it took a turn. And it just wasn't what I expected and not really what I wanted. But yeah. Some people love this book, though. So
that's true. Yeah. I would still recommend reading it if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's terrible. Mm-hmm. But
and I listened to the audiobook of it. And it was an entertaining audiobook. It's just not one that I'm going to think about really ever again. Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay, so then the 7th book I read was The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa. I gave this a 3 out of 5. I think I was just really disappointed by it. I felt like nothing was ever resolved and it kind of ended and I was like, really? Like, mm-hmm. what? And if you have no idea what it's about, like, an alternate society where, like, people are made to forget things.
This is that book with the beautiful cover, right?
Gorgeous cover. And it's such a fun concept. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was going to be great, and it, like, centers around an author, so whenever a book is about an author, I love those kind of books.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's her just kind of, like, dealing with, like, you know, you might have a perfume bottle that all of a sudden is made illegal, kind of, so you've been forced to forget it. So the people who, like, who don't have, I don't know, the type of brain where, like, the memory police can tell that they haven't forgotten it, they get disappeared. So it's a really interesting concept, but it just, like, was, I think I wrote a review for it. It just, yeah, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. but the pacing was way too slow. And then I, like, when I wasn't reading it, I never felt compelled to pick it up again.
Okay. That one, I'm always struck by the beauty of the cover. I always want to pick it up because I just love it so much. I love looking at it. But I don't know, maybe I'll listen to the audiobook in a little while when my TBR isn't killing me. So my seventh book of the year was Passing by Nella Larsen. And I gave this a 5 out of 5. This was my second time reading Passing. And I love it. We talked about it in our Vanishing Half episode. Won't go into too much detail. But this is a short story, I would say, or a novella that's just beautifully written and still resonates sadly in certain ways and beautifully in others, and I like it a lot.
Passing's also my 8th book.
Wow.
5 out of 5 as well for me. I was really blown away by how much I loved it. I kept thinking, like, why did I have to read Gatsby in high school and not this? Like, if I wanted, mm-hmm. if I was going to read a jazz age book, this is the jazz age book I want to read.
You should read Quicksand.
I need to.
So good. Okay, my 8th book of the year was also another reread, lots of rereading, and that's The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. This is a 5 out of 5 for me. Second time reading it, liked it even more. And I read it only 6 months after I read it the first time, so big, big fan of The Vanishing Half.
Absolutely the same. The 9th book for me is Vanishing Half as well, and also 5 out of 5, also a reread, and I would agree that the second reading made it so much better. And I, like you said, it was, like, really close. I think I read it, like, within 3 months of each other. And mm-hmm. still, I was like, what the fuck? This is such a great book.
Mm-hmm. Both of us went to reread it when we were recording the episode on it. And I remember both of us were talking, like, oh, like, maybe we'll just, like, skim through different parts of it. And then both of us reread the entire book.
Couldn't put it down.
Because it was just so good. It's such a great book. Okay. My 9th book of the year was one that you recommended to me. And that's Educated by Tara Westover. This is a solid 5 out of 5. This kicked off my memoir kick of 2021. And oh fuck, this book is beautiful. You had been telling me to read this, my mom had been telling me to read this, and y'all were right. A solid 5 out of 5. Amazing. Just really, really liked it.
Number 10 for me is The Night Circus, which was just a 3 out of 5. It was fun. It was a great audiobook, but I wasn't blown away. Everyone was like, you have to read this if you love fantasy. And it just, I don't know, I didn't love it. I'm not going to continue with the series, but I still thought it was worth reading, and I had a fun time when I was reading it.
Nice. My 10th book of the year was Me Talk Pretty One Day by David Sedaris, which was a solid 5 out of 5. This is the first book by David Sedaris that I've ever read. I read 2 more after this, and I have to say Me Talk Pretty One Day is probably my favorite, if I had to pick, which I don't want to. But yeah, he's just really, really funny. If you need a laugh after all the depressing books that we talk about on here, you should listen to one of his books, and he reads them, makes it even more funny, I would say.
I feel like we talk about David Sedaris every time we're together.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm just, last like 3 weeks, I've just been in a mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, it's a testament to how great his books are.
Yeah. And it's bringing some joy into my normally very sad reading interests.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, number 11 for me is Outlawed by Anna North. 3 out of 5. Not at all what I thought it was going to be. I think I might have said this before, but it just was, I can't say it enough, it was not the book I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, made me a little disappointed. But it was still, like, a really fun read. I thought it was worth reading. I don't regret it. I'd still recommend it if you're interested in Westerns, especially if you're interested in feminist Westerns. It's a good, easy, quick read.
Nice. My 11th pick for this year was Morris by E.M. Forster. I originally gave a 4.5 out of 5. I'm going to change that to a 4. Just because, looking at it in comparison to some of his other books that I've read, it's beautiful, but it's not as beautiful as his other books. Also, it took me a little while to get through it. Not going to lie, it took me a couple weeks. I would put the book down and be like, wow, that was stunning, but I just wouldn't have the urge to pick it back up, which is why I moved it down to a 4 out of 5. Still definitely worth reading. Maybe even more importantly, worth watching if you want to check out that film adaptation. I've already yelled about this to Kendra today, so I will not get more into it. But it's a perfect movie. It is so beautifully done and so important. So yeah, go watch that. Tell me how you like looking at young Hugh Grant, Ben Kingsley, and Helena Bonham Carter, as well as a variety of other iconic English actors.
Oh my gosh. Number 12, I think, for me is Say Nothing. By, I know, Patrick Radden-Keefe. Wow.
Right?
5 out of 5.
Amazing.
One of the best nonfiction, I almost said memoirs, it's not a memoir, it's like more nonfiction, cataloging the troubles in Northern Ireland. I really, really liked it. I thought it did a great job of balancing real, human, nuanced, subjective experiences with cold, hard facts. Really great. This is something that, like, I'm very interested in. Mm-hmm. So I want to continue to read about the Troubles, but this was just, like, a really great starting point.
Yeah. Also, that we both listened to the audiobook for this, and that narrator.
Oh, that accent.
Oh, my God.
Love a Belfast accent.
Beautiful, beautiful. My 12th book of the year is Brokeback Mountain by Annie Proulx. Annie Proulx, we'll just say that. And this is a 5 out of 5. I loved the short story. I'm always a little nervous going into texts where I've seen the film adaptation previously. I had seen the film Brokeback Mountain a number of times because I'm a member of the queer community and also I love cinema. But enough about me. Brokeback Mountain is a beautiful short story. It's less than an hour long if you're going to read it or listen to it. It's worth that hour. You're going to feel like hell afterwards. You're going to be wrecked in a way that you didn't know you could be wrecked.
Remember when Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal did the kiss when they won Best Kiss for, like, the VMAs or something? Mm-hmm. Or Kids' Choice. Oh, my God. Whatever award that
Remember
was
when Heath Ledger just spit into his hand and raw-dogged the hell out of Jake Gyllenhaal? Because painful.
Yes.
Lubricant.
Yes, that. It was something that was not accurately represented.
Yeah. Straight people don't know anything about gay sex. So.
That's true. Like, this is how it goes.
Okay.
Next for me is The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. This was a 3.5 just because it was just so sweet. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a good palate cleanser after seeing Nothing, which I absolutely loved. Uh-huh. But oh my God, so heavy.
Yeah.
And The Midnight Library is just about... if you were between life and death, you could go to this library and look at all, like, each book represents a choice you made in life that you ended up, like, making a different choice. And it's basically a bunch of alternate realities.
Ooh.
Which made me think of all the choices I've made in life. And if I would choose an alternate reality where, because, like, the whole premise is, like, a single choice could change the trajectory of your entire life. Mm. Up to, like, you went and got coffee with this person. Mm. Or to, like, oh, I decided to keep going with a hobby when I was a teenager. Mm. And it ended up being my career.
I don't know why, but I'm just thinking, did you ever watch Doctor Who?
I did, yeah.
So there's an episode, it's when David Tennant was Doctor, when he had Donna. No. Was it? Yes, Donna was his partner at the time. And they go into a library, and in the library, they lead different lives. Like, they're made into another reality. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But, like, when you enter the library, it automatically happens, right?
I think it's been a hot minute since I've seen it. But I think they get, like, taken into a book, and then they just live a different version of their life.
That's exactly it. So, like, you pick up a book, and as you start reading it, you're, like, projected into this life. But you're conscious that, this is not who you are, but, like, a different reality of who you are.
Oh, very neat.
Very cute. Very philosophical at the end. I was like, damn. Huh. Making me think a little too deep.
Don't you love it when cute things also make you think?
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. My 13th book of the year, another book by David Sedaris. It's When You Are Engulfed in Flames. This is also a 5 out of 5. When I posted it on Instagram that I was reading Me Talk Pretty one day, I got a bunch of messages to listen to this one right after. And oh boy, am I glad that I did. Just more funny essays by a very, very funny man. That's
awesome. It. Number 14 for me is Giovanni's Room by James Baldwin. I gave this a 4 out of 5 because I thought the writing was phenomenal. I think, obviously, Baldwin's incredibly talented. I was surprised that I liked it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. Usually, I think Baldwin's writing is kind of categorized, if you had to categorize it other than Baldwin's writing, because it's singular, mm-hmm. but almost Hemingway-esque, and that always put me off.
Yeah, especially this novel.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. But there were just some issues that we definitely cover in that episode that we're doing together.
Yeah. My 14th read was also Giovanni's Room, which I gave a 4.5 out of 5. I feel like that 0.5 for me was because I like this writing style so much. But instead of talking about it, since you just did, I'm going to recommend that people read If Beale Street Could Talk by James Baldwin, which is my favorite one of his books.
I need to read that next. I have it.
So good.
Okay, so 15 for me was Another Brooklyn by Jacqueline Woodson. Mm. I love her writing. I think she's so freaking talented. Red at the Bone was one of my favorite books I read last year. This definitely wasn't as good to me as Red at the Bone, and it was really, really short. I think it was like a 3 or 4 hour audiobook. Oh, wow. So I think it's worth reading. I gave it a 4. Yeah, my review was so bad. I just said, okay, wow. yeah, her novels are just poetry, like true poetry. But also she does a great job of like creating very lively and like real characters that you care deeply about. And this book is kind of about girlhood, and but also like Black girlhood, and a lot of dealing with like creepy men and being friends and overcoming the dangers in your community, and it's great.
Okay, add that to the TBR.
Do it.
My 15th book of the year was Running with Scissors by Augustine Burroughs. I like this book a lot. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. I don't know why. Maybe I was just like such in a David Sedaris memoir style mood, because they're both essayists, both gay male essayists from that are around the same age. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people often pair them together. I don't know. This book, it was beautifully written, and he has lived such an interesting life, and I appreciate him being able to share those experiences. It just was not what I expected, or how it was introduced to me made it seem like it was a little different than it actually is. This book is a lot heavier than I thought it was going into it, which I think is why it's a 3.5 out of 5 for me. Mm. I wish going into it I had greater context of the abuse that he endured and a bit more information on him himself. But that being said, I do still really want to read his other books. He has one book in particular called Dry, which I know is devastating, that I really want to read. Like, that's going to come up very soon on my TBR.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, after a little break.
Yeah.
A little suffering. Next book for me is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. I gave this a 3 out of 5. I was really disappointed by this book. Mm. It probably would have been a fine book if I hadn't been told by everyone like it was 5 stars for them.
Yeah.
Which obviously different readers, different reading experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think also like the Goodreads like is insane. You very rarely see like such high good reviews. It has nearly 100,000 reviews and 4.47 stars.
Yeah, this book is like everywhere on Bookstagram, so I'm not shocked by that.
And also, to be fair, I listened to the audiobook. Maybe this is a book I would have loved if I was reading the physical copy, but I just felt like the story itself was really predictable, and all the tropes, and even like the main character herself, who was actually really fun, but like it was nothing new. I felt like I was re-experiencing other books. It kind of reminded me of History of Wolves, even though the subject is like really different, but like the main characters, and I don't know, but I kept thinking like, oh, History of Wolves is so much better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't bad, but I probably will never reread it.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
My 16th read of this year was In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado, which was a 5 out of 5 for me. This is such a beautiful depiction of Carmen's life, especially the years in which she was in an abusive relationship, experiencing intimate partner violence. I feel like this is an issue that is very important to discuss and is not talked about enough, and it was done in such a beautiful way. The way that genre is depicted within each chapter, how the dream house is defined in each chapter by a different form of genre or a different idea, was something that was very unique, something that I have never experienced before. And it's going to be a book that, even though it was very, very sad and difficult to read, it's going to be one that I return to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 17 for me is The Wife Upstairs by Rachel Hawkins. This is a new release today, new release this year, and I did not like it. I was actually really annoyed because I gave it 2 stars. It's a modern retelling of Jane Eyre. So I went into it knowing, all right, this is going to be a little cheesy. I'm not expecting it to be like Jane Eyre. Not at all. And some of the things I liked about it were because it wasn't at all like Jane Eyre. Like, for instance, the main character, one thing I did initially like is she's not like this naive, sweet girl, which Jane is kind of just only in the beginning. She ends up having kind of more weight to her as the novel progresses. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning of this book, The Wife Upstairs, Jane is like, I'm out to get all I can get from the world because the world's fucked me over. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I can respect that. And she makes some questionable decisions. But then there's a twist that I was like, that was so unnecessary. That was like it was the kind of twist where like you didn't leave any crumbs for it.
Oh.
It doesn't make any sense.
You're so just like a Dark Places twist? Gross.
Not as bad. Not a great
book. Nothing could be that bad.
Yeah. I think I just like was mad because I was like, I already had low expectations because I was expecting a bit of cheese, expecting a bit of like, I don't want to say guilty pleasure because I try not to use that, but like the kind of book where I'm like, I know I'm not going to be thinking real hard about this book. And then you give me this end, and I just think it's dumb. And so that's why I was bitter. But I listened to it for free, so I'm not too angry.
Okay. If you want a different retelling of Jane Eyre, you know what I'm going to recommend. Wide Sargasso Sea by Jean Rees.
We've looked for it every time I've been at
Just borrow my copy.
But I want my own.
Fine. I understand. I want you to read it because it's so good. Yeah. Wide Sargasso Sea. Excellent retelling of Jane Eyre. My 17th book of this year was A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Bachman. And it took me a while to figure out what I was going to review this. After finishing it, I was like 5 out of 5, amazing, spectacular, mm-hmm. legendary. Then I changed it to a 4 out of 5. Then I was thinking about it yesterday and I'm like, why don't we just meet in the middle? 4.5 out of 5. I don't know. When I first started this book, I didn't like it at all. Not going to lie. I thought mm-hmm. it was about just an angry old man. And I was like, I don't need any more of those in my life. I have to deal with men often, and they're all trash. But this book and the character development within it was just so beautifully done. It felt very natural, and I want to read more of Bachman's books after this.
Good to know. I've seen so many great things about that book. I need to listen to it.
Yeah, I listened to the audiobook of it, and worth really good. It. So good, yeah.
Is it like a heavy read? Or
there are sad elements to the book, but it is very fulfilling.
Okay, because I was like, can I handle it? Right now.
Trigger warnings for death and suicide.
Okay. I might be able to handle it. We'll see. We'll see in a week. I'm looking at you, a little life on the table over there.
Next to the tissue box.
Oh, God. Okay, so the 18th book I read for this year is Infinite Country by Patricia Engel. Another new release for 2021. Really great book. I gave it 4 out of 5. Not 5 out of 5 just because the beginning is super slow, but halfway through there was like kind of a reveal or like a shift in narration that I really liked. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, this reading slump is over and I'm finishing this book tonight. So that's what I did. And it was really good. It's about a family, a mixed status family, living in America. Half of them are living in America. Half of them are living in Colombia. It was really heartwarming, very tough, but didn't feel voyeuristic as sometimes mm-hmm. like books that examine immigration in America can feel, probably because this was written by a Colombian author and not a white author, as other books I've read have been. I would highly recommend.
Nice. My 18th book of the year was Calypso by David Sedaris, and this one I gave a 4.5 out of 5, so not like When You Are Engulfed in Flames or Me Talk Pretty One Day, did not get a 5 out of 5. This one just, I don't know if maybe it's because this is the third David Sedaris book I've read in under a month, or if it's just something about the book itself. It just took me a little bit longer to get through than his other books. This one also at times was a lot more personal than some of his other books, talking about his sister and mother, and I highly valued those chapters. I thought they were so beautifully done. Him combining this like personal heartache that he feels with these hard moments of his past alongside his wonderful humor and wonderful wit was something that I really appreciated. It just didn't hit as hard as Me Talk Pretty One Day and When You Are Engulfed in Flames.
So then the 19th and final book so far is On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. I gave this a 4 out of 5 because it was so beautiful. I loved it. So great. The reason it's not 5 out of 5 is because it was almost like too beautiful, which I know is not a real critique. I'm sorry. It just was so, there was so much poetry and not enough like subtext to the subtext. Oh my God. What am I trying to say? There was so much poetry, but not enough in the story itself. But the writing was so beautiful and it was great. I would highly recommend. I listened to it on Libby, which is great because the author narrates it, but I think I'm going to buy a physical copy because I bet if I reread it and I'm reading a physical copy, it would be 5 stars.
Nice. I actually just downloaded the audiobook for that, so I'm very excited to read that.
Woo!
My 19th and final book for this list is 84 Charing Cross Road by Helene Humph. This was a 4 out of 5 for me. This was beautiful, heartwarming, a love letter to literature and those that consume literature. It was a great way for me to end February. I gave it a 4 out of 5, not because it wasn't a 5 out of 5. It is going to stick with me, and I'll probably reread this, honestly, because it's also so short. It just, you know, it didn't have that extra oomph that made it a 5 out of 5. And also, I feel like maybe my standards are getting a little higher because I've read so many great books that I've truly loved this year. if you've noticed my reviews, there was a lot of 4 and 5 stars. Mm-hmm. And I think a reason why all these books were so highly rated is I started going along with my TBR with what books I actually really wanted to read instead of what I felt pressured to read by just literature and being in academia for so long and reading these books that I've wanted to read, some of them for actual years, and just never got around to because I was prioritizing what I thought to be like more important texts, which mm-hmm. is bullshit and I shouldn't think that way, but it's something that I still struggle with. And so finally reading all these books where I was just like, I really want to read these. I think they're going to be genuinely entertaining. I feel like I'm really going to enjoy them. And even if I don't, it's not that bad. Like, it's good to read a different variety of texts than stuff from the Victorian and modernist period. Yeah. And I'm really happy that I did that.
Yeah. I'm doing the exact opposite this year, I think. Mm-hmm. Not the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm still reading whatever the fuck I want. But I'm, like, actually listening to people where mm-hmm. in the past, I have never taken, like, really book recommendations because I've always assumed, like, oh, well, they don't like to read what I want like to read, so maybe I'm not going to like this book. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been not forcing myself, but, like, pushing myself more to read what people tell me to read, mm-hmm. and it's really paid off because not only am I, like, widening my reading horizons, but I'm, like, challenging myself, and also I'm reaffirming what I know I don't like, which is always nice sometimes. Like, probably I would never have read A Little Life if you hadn't been like, please read this.
Yeah.
I would never, ever have picked it up. And mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying it so far.
You're still pretty early in, so.
I'm only, like, 350 now.
Okay.
So, like, I'm not even halfway.
Oh, honey, you got a big storm coming. That's all I can say. Okay. So that concludes our reading roundup for January and February 2021. If you like this episode, wherever you're listening, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star review and a written review if you have the time. We really appreciate it, and it helps us out a lot.
And you can always find us on Instagram, so you can find us together on Book Dumb Podcast, or you can find us separately. I'm Kendra Lapp on Instagram.
And me, August, you can find me at Iggy Poop on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in for a bonus episode. If you're on the feed, go check out other episodes if you haven't listened yet. And of course, always let us know if there's a book or a genre or a subject you want us to cover.
Yeah. And we hope you're having a lovely day.
Bye.